was his name. And do you know that the first person, do you know who the first person was that Jesus sent out to witness to others in his name? You'd think that it would have been somebody close to him, right? Like a disciple or an apostle or one of the women. Somebody that was close to him. But you're going to see later on in my sermon that it would be one of the most unlikely characters in the Bible. Amen? And so hold that thought and we'll get back to that later, okay? People had written him off a long time ago. He was just a crazy lunatic that no one wanted anything to do with. They kept their children away from him. They kept themselves away from him. And they kept everyone away from him. This crazy man that we're speaking of lived like a pig. His body odor was almost unbearable. And to make matters worse, he was running around naked with no clothes on. The people just wanted to get rid of him. And they longed for the day when he would be gone so he would just be a bad memory in their lives. But today, some 2,000 years later, here we are talking about him. We talk about the demon-possessed man who met Jesus. We talk about Jesus' power over the legion of demons that had possessed this man. We talk about him finding clothing, being restored, sitting at Jesus' feet. And then we find him wanting to go with Jesus. Wanting to be with Jesus. Amen? Wanting to spend time with Jesus. The one who had set him free from his possession. And in Luke 8, we find Jesus telling him, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Jesus tells this brand new believer to go back home and be his ambassador. His minister of reconciliation. The scripture says that this is what the man did. He listened to Jesus. He went away and he told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This crazy demon-possessed man could have been any one of us or our children. This could equate today to the many homeless addicts on the streets. The mentally ill people who are out there on the streets standing on any corner today, USA. People whose families have abandoned them. People who have burnt every bridge of hope in their lives. And they're hanging on a thread, alone and tired. People whose society has written off and they can no longer hold a job or maybe even a conversation. In a lot of ways, not much has changed in 2,000 years. So in last week's text, sermon, as Jesus had just finished commanding the wind and the waves, he asked the disciples, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And then he reminds them who's in the boat with them. Amen? He reminds them who's in the boat with them. Our first verse, verse 26 says, they had sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or even lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of this man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So Jesus had just calmed the storm. And as soon as he gets on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, there's this demon-possessed man running up to him, screaming at him. He was obviously in distress and living a life of misery because of these demons that had possessed his body and his mind. The possession was so bad that he was actually living in the graveyard. These demons had caused him to go live in the graveyard. This is exactly what demons do to people. They take away our faith. They take away our love. They take away our lives. And they can very easily destroy our lives if we're not firmly grounded in a relationship with Christ. The demons had taken over this man's life, and he was a prisoner in his own body. And I know a lot of us can relate to that. He was a prisoner in his own body, which is exactly what happens to us when we allow Satan and his demons to take over our lives and run our lives. But the interesting thing is that the possessed man is somehow strangely attracted to Jesus. When Jesus arrives, he goes running up to him. So I guess maybe demons were attracted to Jesus, but they sure knew who he was. Usually when Jesus steps on the scene, though, and a man is around that is living in sin and doesn't want to be around Jesus, what do? We run, right? We get out of there, right? We don't want anything to do with Jesus. Sort of like the people we're talking about, we talked about in the parable of the seed sower, where their hearts were calloused, right? Their hearts were calloused, and they didn't want to hear about God's word or Jesus. They didn't have the good soil to receive God's word. Remember what Adam and Eve, when they started sinning against God, right? Same thing, right? They ran and they hid from him. They didn't want to face him. They didn't want to be around in his presence because of the conviction that they felt in their lives. But in today's message, these demons, they're somehow drawn to Jesus. They're drawn to him, and they compel this man to run toward Jesus and fall at his feet and cry out, "What do you want with us, Son of Man?" Now also notice that the demons, they know who Jesus is, right? The demons always know who Jesus is. You notice that? They always know. They always call him out, right? They know who Jesus is. Jesus calls them out as well. But just knowing who Jesus is isn't enough, obviously. Amen? Just knowing who he is isn't enough. We have to have a relationship with him in order to be saved. Even the demons know who Jesus is. It's much more than just believing. We have to receive the love of Christ, and we have to give it in turn. Amen? 1 John 4:11 says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." Amen? We ought to love each other. We're called to love all people. Will you be God's messenger today? Amen? Will you be his example today? So the possessed man is at Jesus' feet, and he's begging Jesus not to torture him. And Jesus tells him in the next verse, in verse 30, he says, Jesus asks him, "What is your name?" The man replies, "Legion," because many demons had gone into him. Legion. He replies, "Legion." Now, legion, it's not even a name. Amen? It's a title. Legion is a title. A legion in the Roman army meant an army unit of up to 6,000 men. It usually meant in the thousands. So this title is given to mean that there were probably many, if not thousands, of demons in this man's body. That's what they were trying to say. And maybe these demons were trying to brag about how much control they had over him or how powerful they were. Amen? But that bragging was going to quickly turn to fear. In the next verse, it's going to quickly turn to fear. You got the pigs up there? There they are. I got some amazing facts about pigs too, you guys, I'm going to tell you about, that I didn't know either. So in verse 31 it says, they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. To go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. He gave them permission. Verse 31 just shows that the demons, as well as Satan, they know their final destination. They know they're going into the abyss. They just don't want to go right now. Amen? They know their final destination. And remember, the abyss is going to be that eventual place, right? for the containment of Satan and his demons. Amen. And then eventually, they'll be released and thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. Amen. But they don't even want to start that process right now. And it also says in Revelations that they will be tormented day and night forever. Tormented day and night forever. So yeah, they don't want to go into the abyss. They want to go into the pigs. So they have no desire to go there. And Jesus sends them there. And in verse 32 it says, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. He gave them permission, right? Demons, right. Demons always want to possess a body. We got to remember that, okay? Demons always want to possess a body. And if these demons could not be in a person, because obviously Jesus wasn't going to allow them to possess anybody in his presence, then they would rather just go into the pigs. And that's what they were asking for Jesus to allow them to go into the pigs. Because you see, demons, they're always continually trying to possess something or someone. That's what they do. Charles Spurgeon said of this text, he said, Satan would rather vex swine than do no mischief at all. He is so fond of evil that he would work it upon animals if he can't work it upon men. Jesus would also say in Luke chapter 11 that one of the most dangerous things a person can do is to clean up his life by ridding himself of these demons. Okay? He says that because whatever they may be, okay? Drugs, alcohol, anger, lust, dishonest living, hurts, bad habits and hang-ups. To rid yourself of these demons from your temple, amen? To rid yourself of these demons and then not fill it with the Holy Spirit is worse than never ridding your body of them at all. And why is that? Well, Luke chapter 11 says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept, clean, and put in order. And then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. They go in and live there because the house had not been refilled by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit and demons cannot cohabitate within us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, right? Therefore, if the Holy Spirit is in us, we can rebuke those demons in the name of Jesus. And that's a hallelujah. Amen. Right? Right? Hallelujah. And a woohoo too. That's right, baby girl. That's right, baby girl. Get happy. Amen. This is what we call spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Right? Seems to be my go-to motto here this month. For there is hope for all of us in Christ Jesus. Each and every one of us. So the demons, they would ask Jesus to allow them to go into the pigs. Now this is weird because there's no other place in the Bible where they talk about animals being demon-possessed. Amen? No other place. And you know why that is? I'm going to tell you, but cover the kids' ears, okay? We don't want them to hear this. Okay, and it's not. Yeah, Myrtle is covering Adriana's ears back there. She's not a kid. She's your kid, right? Amen. It's because animals, including our pets, they don't have a soul. And as much as we like to think that we're going to see our animals in heaven, we're not going to see them in heaven. Animals do not have a soul. And we may see some animals in heaven, amen? But these are going to be animals that God created for our enjoyment in heaven. They're not going to be a reincarnation of our pets here on earth, because pets don't have a soul. But Jesus would allow these demons to try and possess these pigs, because the time for his complete authority over the demons had not yet come. Yeah, you can take your hands off their ears now. It's okay. The time for Jesus' complete authority over the demons had not yet come. That time would come soon, right? At the cross. Amen? But that time had not yet come. So he allowed these demons to go into these pigs. Amen? And in verse 33 it says, when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and drowned. Now, one quick fact that I learned, okay? Did you know that pigs are really good swimmers? I didn't know that. You wouldn't think a pig could swim, right? But yeah, Google it. Pigs are really good swimmers. So I wonder if any of them made it. I don't know, but the text says they all drowned. So, but anyways, maybe one or two of them made it. Who knows? But they're really good swimmers. I think that one looks like he's doing a backstroke right there, right? Anyway, so the pigs had no soul or spirit to resist these demons. And when the demons entered the pigs, they panicked. Okay? It wasn't God pushing them down the hill or telling the pigs to run. No. These pigs panicked and they drowned. Okay? And I'm sure the demons probably thought, you know, oh, just send us into these pigs and we'll control the pigs the way we control the humans, right? But the problem was they didn't have a soul to control. Amen? So they panicked. They run down the hill. And so what that means is that, you know, the stronger our relationship with the Savior, the stronger we are to resist the demons and the temptations of the devil. Amen? That's what it's about. It's about our relationship. It's something that our pets can't have. Amen? But we can, because we have a soul. We're children of the Most High God. We can have that relationship. You see, I don't believe a true Christian can be possessed. Because the Bible tells us that as Christians, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. We can resist the devil and he will flee from us. And we are called to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus every day of our lives. So resist the devil and he will flee from you. James also said in James 4:7 that if we submit ourselves to God and completely stand against Satan, he will flee from us. He will flee from us. But with these animals, there was no soul, therefore no resisting, and they were going to freak out, run down the hill, and drown. And this just shows the destructive nature of Satan and his demons, right? What do they come for? To steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? That's all they care about. To steal, kill, and destroy. And without a relationship with our Savior, we can all be a prime target for them. We have to have that relationship. The stronger we are in Christ, the more we can rebuke Satan in our lives. And in verse 34, it says that when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and they reported this in the town and the countrysides. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had come out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? We're going to talk about that. Amen? They were afraid. You see, these demons recognized something that a lot of people in the world today do not. They recognized the authority and the superiority of Jesus Christ. They know his authority. They recognize. They listen to him. They believe in the existence of God more than a lot of people we know. Amen? All the demons in hell, they believe in the existence of God. And in the book of James, it says, they believe in God and they shudder. Right? It's too late for them. They're not going to be saved, but they shudder because they know the power of God. Amen? Every demon in hell believes in the existence of God, but they're not saved. They are condemned. And they believe in a reality of a final judgment. They believe in the abyss, and that's why he's saying, don't put us in the abyss. Because they know. They know what their final judgment is. They know how the book ends just as well as we do. Amen? So the man is healed. He's dressed almost as good as Donald. And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. His mind had been restored. And the people who had gone out to see this miracle, rather than being all happy and amazed, once again, right? They're not happy and amazed. They were afraid. They were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid of what he had done. They were more worried about their pigs and their business than the eternal future of their people. But they were also fearful to face the Lord because they felt convicted of their own sins. They felt convicted of their own sins. They saw how the Lord had healed this man of a great demonic possession, and now they felt guilty to face the Savior with their own possessions. Jesus had shown this man mercy while they had banished him to live in a graveyard. They were treating him like trash, right? They wanted him to go live in a graveyard. They didn't want to deal with it. And we're going to talk more about dealing with it too. They didn't want to deal with it. They weren't ready to face the conviction of their own sin and the mistakes that they had made, so they were afraid. They would rather deal with people living in sin than to face their own sins and deal with people living in Christ. Like, really? Right? They would rather deal with that than to face Christ. In recovery, we call it being afraid of change. Being afraid of change. Being afraid of what we may become if Jesus cleanses us from the demons in our lives. They were in a serious need for a revival, is what they needed. And as I said earlier, here we are 2,000 years later, and some things never change, right? We're in a serious need of a revival too. They needed Jesus, and so do we. So don't be afraid, amen? Embrace the Savior and Satan will flee from you. Do not be afraid of change. Do not be afraid of what God can do for us. In verse 36 it says, those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So they're telling Jesus, they're saying, you need to leave. You can't be restoring people's minds and interfering with our pig business. We just lost 2,000 pigs down the hill. You need to leave. They're asking Jesus to leave. They were more concerned about the pigs and the money than God's mercy. Isn't this how it is in the world when we become Christians? Right? Especially for us former professional sinners. Amen? Anybody else out there? We had all these friends, right? Friends and family who accepted us for who we were when we were sinners, right? They accepted us for being alcoholics, drug addicts, whatever it is, for being sinners. And they stayed away. And now that we've become Christians, right? Now they're like, they want to stay away from us. They accepted us as sinners, but now that we're Christians, they're staying away from us. They're afraid of us, right? They're like, that guy's weird, man. Yeah, get away from him, right? What's wrong with that guy? Amen? But they could handle us as sinners, but when we came to Christ, they're afraid of us. Very similar to these people that were asking Jesus to leave. Amen? They were afraid to be around him. They were more afraid, I like this, they were more afraid to die to their sin than to live with it. They were more afraid to die to their sin than to live with it. And this is why we testify about what God has done in our lives. This is why we testify. So that those who are afraid to face their sins or their past or maybe just afraid of change, so that they may find some hope through a testimony of Christ. That's why we give our testimonies. Whether it's in recovery, church, small groups, our homes, whatever. We have to continue to give our testimonies of what Christ has done in our lives so that others may receive that same hope in their lives. And so because of their fear, Jesus got in a boat and he left. He wanted him to leave. He got in a boat and he left. And in verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. He's like, hold up, take me with you, right? He wants to go with Jesus. Of course he does. So we have the demons begging for one thing. We got the townspeople begging for Jesus to leave. And we got the healed man begging to go with Jesus, right? So everybody's begging Jesus. Amen? All these people begging Jesus, but the only one who had a heart for Jesus and what he was doing was the man who had been healed. But Jesus sends him away. In verse 39, he says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Don't come with me. Go home and tell everyone what God has done for you. Remember in the beginning of my sermon, I said, who was the first person that Jesus sent out to witness about him and the healing that he had done, right? This is the man. This is the first man that he sent out, literally, to proclaim what he had done for him. Jesus is telling him to go home and proclaim what God has done for him, because in this part of the region where he's at, the Decapolis is what they call it. He's on the border of Decapolis. The word of Christ had not yet been spread like it had in Israel. Amen? And Jesus wasn't in any danger there. So these people who were mostly Gentiles in that region, they needed to hear about who the Savior was. And Jesus knew that. So he's telling them, go home and tell what happened. Tell them what I did for you. And what he could do for all of mankind. So the man went away and he told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. He listened to Jesus. He went and told what Jesus had done for him. He became the first missionary of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege, right? And we don't even know his name, right? We don't even know who he was. But we know that he was a follower of Christ. And we know that he was a child of God. That's what matters. So are you a child of God? Amen? Are you a follower of Christ? Hallelujah. Has God delivered you from your sins and demon possession? Amen. Then you should be his missionary as well. Amen? We should be out there spreading the word and telling people what God and what Christ has done for us in our lives. Amen? The Great Commission, right? We should tell everyone of what God has done for us. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Always be out there spreading God's word. Amen? Amen. Grace and peace be with you all.